Too many books and not enough pulpit. As we were singing that song, The Hour in Dark Gethsemane, the third verse, well, it caught my attention. I saw him tempted to despair, by anguish, grief bent low. The depth of pain he suffered there, no man can fully know. Do we know the depth of pain that Christ suffered? Do we know how it hurt for him to take upon himself the sins of this world? Do we know how much it hurt? We'll never comprehend it. We'll never understand it. God himself coming down in the form of man to take upon himself the sins of mankind. It just boggles my mind why anybody would love me that much that he would do something like that for me. Scripture for this particular Sunday deals with the temptation of Jesus. It's one of the places it's recorded in the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, which is where I'll read from, and beginning with the first verse and reading through verse 13. It's Luke chapter 4, and beginning with verse 1 and reading the words in Jesus' name. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Amen. Heavenly Father, these words that we have read are your words. These words that we contemplate are yours. Lord, let us never lose sight of that. For indeed they are truth, because we know that you are indeed truth. And you are indeed the reason for our salvation. Amen. Jesus was tempted throughout his ministry upon this earth. We kind of look at a few places in Scripture that talks about that. This 22nd chapter of Luke, verse 28. He says this, Ye are they which have continued with me. Now he's talking to his disciples. You have continued with me in my temptations. He's talking about himself. No one's talking up for him at this particular moment. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Jesus was tempted throughout his whole ministry. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Can we take this to heart today and know that our Savior was indeed tempted the same way we are? It doesn't matter what we've gone through. It doesn't matter what we're going through, both now and in the present. Jesus was tempted in that way, yet without sin. And that's the glorious part. That's the wonderful part of it. He was tempted without sin. Why? Because our salvation was so important to him. Our faith was so important to him that he became that perfect sacrifice so that we could look to him and cling to him and know that one day we will be with him. I'm encouraged when I read these first verses of our text. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Full of the Holy Spirit, he had just come from being baptized. He had just come after John the Baptist had baptized him. But he had also heard his Father descend upon him, or send down upon him that Holy Spirit. And he heard his Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Later on in his missionary or his mission, as we spoke of last week on the Mount of Transfiguration, the same thing was said. But this time there was something added. Listen to him. That is so important. Listen to him. Because he has the keys to eternal life. He has the message that we can put upon our hearts even this morning and be strengthened by it. And be strengthened because of it. God had this all planned out. He knew that Jesus was going to have to go. He knew that Jesus needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He knew that he was going to have to be tested, because he was truly man. It wouldn't have done any good for him to come down upon this earth as God, stay as God, and be tested as God, because the devil couldn't have done it. He had to be tested as a man. And he was. Yet he was without sin. So he was led here in our text by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And he was led into the wilderness. Now that wilderness that it speaks of here, it's been associated in different scriptures and different manuscripts, but at the time it was associated with a place where demons lived. What better place for Christ to be tempted? Because it was indeed Satan who was doing the tempting. And one thing that I read, it called Satan and his minions. The term minions probably rather degrading in today's society, but that's what they called him. So he was led into the wilderness. "And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." God allowed all of these things to happen. Because it wouldn't have if he hadn't. None of that would have happened. None of what has happened would have happened had God not allowed it. So Christ hungered. He'd been 40. You can imagine 40 days without something to eat. It doesn't say he didn't have water. Water he can't do without. from the human perspective. But after 40 days without anything to eat, you can imagine. But there was a reason for that. And Satan was going to take advantage of it in these next verses. You see, when somebody is hungry or has a physical need, that need becomes paramount in our life. It becomes something that we focus on and we pay attention to. And it sometimes is difficult to overcome that need just simply because it's so prevalent. It's so much in our heart and so much in our life. And indeed, it could even be said that it is a weakness. So this is kind of the place where Jesus was at that time. He was hungry. And Satan knew it. And he says to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus could have done that. Wouldn't have been a problem. It'd be easy. But had he done so, he would have succumbed to that temptation. And Jesus said, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and the second part of the 3rd verse, Moses told the people of Israel, man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. See, Jesus just wasn't grabbing stuff out of the air to say to Satan and say, well, okay, this is what God says. No, it has already been said. And in this case, it was Moses who was called God's friend. Moses said these things. Why? He wanted to remind the children of Israel at that time who was sustaining them. And then the devil took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Kind of a fast forward type scenario. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Which is kind of interesting because they were all gods. But you see, the devil was showing those kingdoms to Jesus the man, not to Jesus God. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it. Now that last statement is a little off kilter. Might say it's kind of a half a bubble off plumb. Because Satan does have power on this earth. God has given it to them. There's no question about that. But God has not given him the earth. God has not given him the world. And he does not have that power to give it to anybody else. He goes on to say, if you therefore will worship me, all of this shall be yours. Which is another interesting statement because it was all God's anyway. But again, he was speaking to Jesus the man, not to Jesus the God, or Jesus God, I guess is the best way to say it. And Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, in Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 20. You shall fear the Lord thy God, him shall you serve, and to him shall you cleave and swear by his name. You see, all of these things that Jesus said aren't just grabbed out of the air. All of these things God has already given. You shall worship the Lord your God only. And then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. You see, he was trying in through this whole thing to trying to cast doubt unto Jesus. To try to make Jesus doubt that indeed, maybe he's got a point there. No, it didn't work. And why didn't it? Why doesn't it work in our life? It's because the Holy Spirit lives within each and every one of us. That Holy Spirit who is our guide, who is our instructor, and also the individual or the being or whatever term that you want to use to describe him, is also the one that warns us when we start wandering. That little small thought that comes into your head when you start to do something and immediately, this doesn't feel right. Or maybe I shouldn't be doing this. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Pay attention to it. As God said about Jesus, listen to it. The King James Version, the way God says it, or the way they translated it, said, hear him. The term hear, I like the term listen better. And for this reason, if you hear a loud explosion outside, you hear it immediately. What's your first reaction? You listen to see if it's going to happen again. You listen to try to find out where it's coming from. You listen so that you can understand what it is. And it's an act of intentness. You're intensely listening, paying attention, not just hearing something, but you're paying attention to what it is. For you guys, if you're operating equipment or if you're on the job or driving or whatever, if you happen to be in a truck, you know the sound of that truck. You know the sound of that piece of equipment. And when there's something starts going wrong with it, you pick up on it right away. I know, I didn't. There's something not right, and you start listening. This is what God wants us to do. Listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us. Because he only means the good for you. He only means the best for you. He doesn't want you to go astray. Listen to what he says. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Real simple expression, listen. But we are tempted also. And sometimes those temptations are a little tough to get over with. But that is the beauty of God's glory. That's the beauty of what he did and the reason for why he came down here and the reason why we're looking at this text even today. Because when we stumble and we fall, and I'm not trying to make excuses, please, no, I'm not going down that road. But just trying to impress the fact that he loves us that much, that he forgives us because of what his son did, because of what Jesus, the man, did. So he brought him to Jerusalem and he set him on the pinnacle of a temple and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. Historically, that's the place where they say Jesus was brought was to an area in the temple that if you looked over the wall, it was built on the edge of a cliff and it was a 100-foot drop straight down. But then he goes on, Satan goes on, and this is, Satan knows scripture as well, if not better than we do. And he'll use it against us. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. We read that in our scripture verse in Psalm 91, verse 11. He will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And that's a promise. That's a promise that he gives to us even today. But Satan didn't mean it that way. He was throwing these things out to Jesus so that Jesus would trip and fall, so that he would stumble. And he goes on and he says, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's talking about it in a physical sense. But spiritually, he does the same for us, even today. Lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Have we ever been in a situation where it just looks like it's going to be a disaster? This is not going to be good. And somehow, some way, God intervenes. A lot of prayers offered up at that particular moment. I've had a couple of them. But God has a way of intervening and doing things that we never would imagine. Shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. God loves us. He has compassion. He cares for us. And he doesn't want us to stumble. He doesn't want us to hit our foot against a rock. He doesn't want us to hurt, because that's what it is, both physically or spiritually. He just wants us to look to him for everything. And Jesus said to him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. It doesn't say you shouldn't. It doesn't say it wouldn't turn out very good if you do. You shall not. End of discussion. Don't do things that could be a hindrance to your faith. And I'm speaking to myself. And if you're in that same boat, then grab a hold of those words. Stay away from the stuff that causes problems. Stay away from the stuff that causes harm. Don't tempt God. He can't be tempted, quite honestly. But nevertheless, sometimes things are allowed to happen to get our attention. And boy, does he know how to get my attention. Better than anybody I've ever known. And at the end of that, when that attention, after that trial is over or after that situation is done, all I can do is just thank him. Thank you for showing me the way and showing me my error. Because indeed, I was wrong. And then repent of it. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. It was done. The devil didn't come back to him anymore, right? No. Does he come back to us? Yeah. When God chases him away because of a temptation that I happen to be going through at a particular moment and reach a point of crying out to God to make it stop, and he makes it stop, and he casts it away, and he tells Satan to leave, and Satan leaves, and I can glorify God. But deep down I know that he'll come back. But even deeper down, I know that I can pray unto God and cry out to God when the going gets hard. And God will be right there, ready to answer that question. Right there to answer my plea. Take him away from having a hard time with this. He is indeed our salvation. He is indeed the one that we need to look to at every moment in time for everything that we have and everything that we own. May he add his blessings to these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great grace. We thank you for your love, your compassion. We thank you for that spirit that you've given to each and every one of us because you love us. And Father, we pray that we would constantly want to look to him and hear that voice and do what it instructs us to do. Father, we thank you for your blessings. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.